And as we look at this in hindsight, I can't help but ask, did we miss it? Right? Was God giving us the opportunity to get out of this? And were we so set on the fact that we didn't do anything wrong that we missed God's off-ramp to get out of this mess?
So why would two guys leave comfortable jobs, move across the country, and start a business in an industry they don't know, a place they don't know, and could it be successful?
We're Dale and Brian Carmey. Join us as we share our story and inspire you to become people of impact.
Welcome to the Impact Without Limits podcast. Welcome back to the Impact Without Limits podcast. Brian Carmey here with Dale.
Beautiful spring day.
Beautiful. And we are walking through the trial in California. We've kind of finished 2 weeks of trial. And this weekend, we have Friday, Saturday, Sunday. We've decided to stay in California instead of flying home and back just to get a break from travel.
And we finished the last episode saying, this is a good weekend.
It was
right?
A good weekend.
We had a 2 good weeks in court, as good as a weeks in court can be. And we had a long weekend because the court was dark on Friday. We weren't trying to get home. So we just kind of, we hung out in California and tried to take, you know, just relax and do some fun things.
And the time in court ends with the judge looking at the other side saying, you really have no case. You need to settle. You need to reach out to Forever Line and see if you can put this to bed over the weekend. And so Saturday, 8 a.m., we get an email with a settlement offer.
Attorney Dan says, Brian,
he's talked with his clients and he has been authorized to settle if we will just pay the $47,500, the exact amount they paid in the bankruptcy court. So we had tried to buy this at the bankruptcy court and we didn't.
And how much are we willing to pay?
$45,000. So now we've gone through 2 weeks, but I will say we're sitting there saying
we spent a lot of money.
We spent a lot of money.
This
and
thing's
we're winning.
Going 100. The judge has said it multiple times.
We're winning.
They have no case. They lost the jury.
But there's always a risk reward thing.
Oh yeah,
especially in a court of law. Mm-hmm. Do you take it?
I say write the check.
That's not what you said then.
The value of hindsight.
Technically, we accepted with some caveats because they owed us like $30,000 of term. There were some other things we rolled in as expenses. And so we said, we'll take your $47,500, but we're not writing you that in check. We'll subtract out what you owe. Here are some other things. We'll give you $3,500 out of pocket, and we will drop any and all charges against you. And I have the exchange. I will say, this was consensus. Nobody, we can't point the finger. No. The attorneys agreed.
We all agreed.
We agreed. We were kind of offended.
I'd say our offer feels a little bit like a forget you, right?
Yeah. So the question is, was that smart?
And first question, right. Was it smart? Second question, do they take it?
Well,
so
I think everybody's kind of getting a feel for where this is going.
Here's the deal. They didn't take it. So there's a story, Brian.
Yeah.
Can I share this?
Yeah, tell the story.
This isn't about us. This is just a story. So as the story goes, there's this man lives in a house. It's not too far from the Ohio River. He's in the floodplain and a lot of rain, a lot of storms, and the waters rise, and they evacuate the town. And they put out these messages, hey, evacuate the town. The flood's rising. You're in the flood zone. You're going to get wiped out. And the guy's like, yeah, I'm staying here. And the water comes up and it gets like, you know, his flooding his basement. He gets up on the first level and the police still come through. They're still able to get through. And they're like, hey, listen, you can see the house is flooding. Everything's bad. You need to evacuate. Come with us. We'll drive you out of town. The guy's like, no, I'm good. I'm staying here. I think is where God wants me to be. God will take care of me. And water continues to rise. Now the guy goes up to the second floor. He's like out on his balcony or his patio. Now the local authorities or the rescue people are coming through on boats and they're still trying to get everybody out. And they see the guy, they say, listen, you need to get out of here and evacuate. The water's got the whole first floor of your house engulfed. Come with us. We're going to get you out of here. He's like, you know what? I trust God's going to take care of me. He's going to deliver me. I'm good. I'm hanging here. People are like, all right. Water continues to rise. He now goes up on his roof. The whole house is underwater. Now helicopter comes by and they're calling out on their megaphone. We need to evacuate. We're going to drop down a ladder. Please get on the ladder. Climb up. We're going to take you to safety. And he's like, no, I'm here. God's going to take care of me. God will provide. I'm going to be okay. The helicopter leaves. Floodwater rises, takes the guy. He dies, wipes out his house. Gets to heaven. And he's like, God, what happened? I trusted you were going to take care of me. God said, well, I sent the police car. I sent the boat. I sent the helicopter. You just didn't take any of them. Right? So sometimes
it's a little convicting.
We're so confident that we're waiting for God to deliver us that we miss some of the messages or opportunities God's sending us for to get out of the situation we're in.
So was this a lifeboat? Was this a helicopter?
So let's look back. We had the opportunity to buy it out of bankruptcy, and we went a certain distance, 45, but we drew a limit.
Yep.
Then we had at the beginning of the trial, Judge McKino tells us just pay him $60,000, be done with it. I'm like, yeah,
maybe not.
We think we're okay. Then we have this situation where they make an official settlement offer for $47,500, and we come back and say, yeah, we'll give you $3,500. And as we look at this in hindsight, I can't help but ask, did we miss it? Right? Was God giving us the opportunity to get out of this? And were we so set on the fact that we didn't do anything wrong that we missed God's off-ramp to get out of this mess? Now, that's a question. I don't know that I have the right answer. I do know this. We truly, like you just said about this, our response to this offer, we were in agreement. Separately, we had thought about it. We'd prayed about it. We came back with what it should be, and we both had the same thing multiple times. The bankruptcy, we had that, what we should offer there. So I don't know. It's hard, Brian, because when we look at it now, we're out of the context. We're out of, you know, being in the midst and being in the prayer and being in the looking for what's the right thing. But I can't help but feel a little bit like we missed a couple lifeboats.
Yeah. And it's difficult because I really try and live life regret-free. Not, I wish I would have, what could have happened. I try and live it looking forward, not looking back. But I think both things can be true. You can learn from this and say there were off ramps. And again, foreshadowing, this will end up costing us 10, 20, 30 times what we didn't pay here.
Ooh,
right?
Yeah.
Not to mention agony and emotional distress.
10
and,
doesn't get
and
it.
And the time. 20
probably doesn't get you there. 30, you're getting in the ballpark.
But so there's a lesson there that we could have avoided it. And now there are often times where, you know, it's changed what the way we approach some situations. Sometimes it's not a matter of just being right. There, as much as I dislike it, there is a time when I look at the legal system and say, it's about resolution. How do we get this resolved? But at the same time, I look at this and say, I really feel like what the steps of we prayed through it the whole time, we got through it. And I think everything that happened for a reason. And I feel like the lessons we learned going through this, the way we were able to see God answer prayers at later times that we'll talk about, the way that it formed us and molded us and helped us.
It had a major impact on us, on our character, on how we view business, how we operate our business going forward, on our families. Our families viewed us, people on the outside looking at us, how we dealt with the situation. I mean,
it was formative for my faith.
There's no limit to the good that came out of it, but foreshadowing, there's 10 years of yuck, 7 years from this point that are going to continue that could have been avoided. So, yeah, I mean, I think in the end, we probably wound up where we were supposed to be, and God used this and used us and used so many things here to just accomplish things.
Yeah.
Over the many years, and even the ability for us to sit here and share the story.
I would say it this way. Man, if I were to go back,
I might be jumping on that lifeboat.
If I were to go back, I don't know that I would change anything. But if I'm in this same situation going forward, I'm
jumping on the lifeboat.
Do it the same way, right? Maybe that's the way to look at it.
Yeah, that's a good.
So let's, we talked about the weekend in California. And we just got a little heavy there. There was a little bit of...
it's a heavy subject.
But the weekend was a light and airy weekend. We had a lot of fun.
Yeah, so let's just be sure to put the nail in the coffin. I think we did. They did not accept that offer, and so trial goes on.
I was going to leave a cliffhanger.
Oh, cliffhanger.
We're going to go. They didn't. We actually didn't find out until, I think, Monday that we'd proceed to trial. But... there were just some hilarious things that happened. So one of the things that happened, we had, I think Joe stayed Friday maybe, and then went home, and it was just us over the weekend. But there was this Joe, we were going to go, we wanted to go burn off some steam, right? Yeah. So we wanted to go. And so we found like an LA fitness type place, and we're like, hey, we'll go play basketball. We'll just go shoot around. I mean, we're not basketball superstars, but we like to shoot around, right? We like to play. And so we decide we're going to go. And I'm like, Joe, do you want to go basketball? And Joe's like, well, I don't have
all shoes. I have is these shoes.
All I have and he's are got my these... dress shoes. He did have shorts.
Yeah. I think.
But then loafers.
I think he had a pair of loafers.
So he's got shorts, a white t-shirt, socks pulled up. I don't remember.
I can't remember if they were white or black. But they were pulled up over the calf. He's got his shorts on. These brown or black loafers.
And so on the way, Joe's like, hey,
could we stop?
If we pass a shoe store, could we just swing in so I can grab a pair of tennis shoes?
Like, oh, yeah.
Of course,
yeah.
Joe, we'd be happy to. We're driving down the highway, and Joe's like, hey, there's a shoe store we just passed. We're like, oh.
Oh, we missed the turn in.
Sorry, Joe, we missed it.
We'll catch the next one.
He's like, hey, there's a shoe store. Oh, Joe, we can't get off that exit.
That was a tough turn. A lot of traffic. Pulling out of there would be a bear. There's going to be another one coming up.
I have to say, it started truly like an accident. We missed them.
And then it became a joke.
But it became funny.
Oh, my goodness.
And so then we just played it, right? And then we're like, sorry, Joe, we didn't pass any.
We must have passed.
We're going to have to go.
Five or six shops where we could have gotten shoes. So we just like, what? It's like, no, it'll be okay, Joe. You'll be okay. So we finally get to the LA Fitness and we park. Now, the guys, I mean, come on, we're in LA. And what are these workout places, LA Fitness, about?
It's for show.
It's about show.
Yeah.
Right?
And everybody's there.
You got the ladies who are there. I mean, they look like they're going out on a date. They have all their makeup on their face. Their hair is all primped. They have these nice color matching outfits and all this. The guys are all in their muscle tees and their silk running shorts and, you know, their trendy shoes. And it was so LA.
Everybody there was putting out the vibe, except for us.
And we come walking in. Right. I've got my gym shorts, probably my high top shoes and a baggy t-shirt. Brian, you're probably dressed similar,
The same.
We look like standard Midwest.
But then there's Joe.
Here comes Joe. This like not gym shorts, like probably plaid or something.
Yes.
Shorts, like dress shorts. His socks over his calf, his brown loafers, and I don't remember. I think just a plain white t-shirt.
Yes, plain white.
Like he'd wear under a dress shirt. And we come trucking through the LA Fitness. I mean, it was almost, you could hear the record scratch. And everybody looks, and we just come walking through. You feel all the eyes of LA on you. Like,
so we're just,
nobody could be more out of place than these three guys.
We're just strolling through like, hey, no big deal. Here we are. And so this was like when you go, this was like this in the playground when we were kids, right? We'd go and there's a game going on the court. And there were probably multiple courts.
We walked through all the workout area to get to the back where the courts are.
The basketball courts. And they're indoor basketball courts. But they're playing, right? And so they're running teams on this court. And everybody else kind of stands on the side. It's a pickup game, right? And so we're like, hey, you know, we want to play
we're
too.
We're here. So pick us.
If any of you have done this as a kid, right? When the game goes down to the one end of the court.
You run out and
shoot. You grab a basketball and you know, do a little warm up, shoot a couple shots. But you got to get your rebound, get off the court, make sure you don't get in the way of the other teams that are really playing. And we go out there. And again, I'm not great. I'm probably throwing up some bricks or air balls and, you know, whatever.
Yeah, you go to do the layup and it bounces off the rim.
But I'm at least a couple shots going in. I'm at least getting my rebounds getting off. I look back and Joe does the two-handed windmill hook.
The 1950s, it was straight out of like a 1950s instructional video for gym class on how to shoot the hook shot. And he's got the ball down low, two hands, and he swings it around up over his head, flips it, whoop, and it soars like, I don't know, over the backboard. It wasn't close to anything.
Oh, my goodness.
And we are just losing it. Just the sight of him taking that shot.
It was.
And then
it was just comical.
And we're right. We'd shoot and miss a ball and it's rolling up the court and the team's coming down and then they got to dance around our ball and we're getting these disgusted looks and we're trying to scurry off the court. It was hilarious.
I do think we mixed in for one game.
We did. We had a game, and I think you, Joe, and I were on the same team. I think we got like maybe two other guys.
Yeah, and winners stay up, so we only got one game, and then we were back off. But
Joe was, man, classic.
What an experience.
He's out there in the loafers running around, and when that game was going on, and I think he even ripped off a hook shot or two. Like, shot from the outside was a set shot. Two-handed set shot from the chest. Oh, my goodness.
We love you, Joe. That was good stuff. All right. So after basketball, Joe leaves. I know by the time we get to Saturday and Sunday, it's just you and me. And Saturday, we did something fun.
We did. We went to the Reagan Museum.
The Reagan Museum in, what is that, Simi Valley, I think? Yeah. And so what an awesome trip that was. So
we loaded up the car, drove to the other side of L.A. That was a long drive. And you know, it was Saturday, so we didn't hit the traffic you normally would. But, you know, we're fighting through L.A. traffic, and we get out there, and just a neat experience to be there, to go through that museum, to see all the stuff. And look, Ronald Reagan, he's one of my top four presidents of all time. That was really a special moment and thing to take in. And
if any of you haven't been there, quick plug, that's just an awesome place to go. Great record of his presidency and just America, right? I mean, you know, shining city on the hill, new day in America. That's you know, Ronald Reagan, just optimism was terrific. And it was really refreshing to be there. Beautiful sight. And just, again, just something to take our mind off everything that was going on.
Yeah.
And just a really good trip.
Another thing we did here, we don't have written down, is I remember that we wanted to find a football to throw around in the parking lot.
Always.
And we went up to, we just went to a local store, went in, found a little rubber football.
I wonder if they sold shoes there. maybe that was after.
And I don't know why that sticks in my mind, but I remember going out and finding that football, and we went in the parking lot of the hotel, right? The hotel backed up to some businesses and there was a big parking area. We're just out there firing the ball. You know, Saturday night, Sunday morning before church, Sunday afternoon. Just, man, anything we could do to get a little bit of activity, a little bit of release, have a little bit of fun, and, you know, pass our time. But then we did something neat too.
Yeah. So Sunday, when we lived in Albuquerque, I went to a church that was Calvary Albuquerque. Pastor Skip Heitzig and loved it there. And I knew that he had come from Southern California and he had spun out of a church that was Calvary Costa Mesa. Calvary Costa Mesa. Sorry.
Mecca.
Yeah, that's a different church, not one that I'm affiliated with. But Calvary Costa Mesa was pastored by Chuck Smith. Yep. And Chuck was older at this point, but he was still preaching. And I wanted to go see him and just experience it. And so we do. We go to this church and we listen to Chuck Smith preach, and it was just a really neat thing. And then, interestingly, and I was thinking about this.
I know.
Little did we know that fast forward to last year, 2023. So what is that? 13 years after we were sitting in that church, there would be a movie come out, The Jesus Revolution.
Yep.
That was about that church that we're sitting in.
Yes.
And that we would have a NASCAR promoting that movie, The Jesus Revolution. So if you had been sitting there in that church and somebody says, hey, psst, by the way, 13 years from now, there's a movie going to be made about this church, about Chuck Smith and Greg Laurie, and you are going to go ahead and make
run a NASCAR.
You're going to run a NASCAR and you're going to promote this movie. Your thought is...
My first thought is, we obviously win the case.
That's right. No doubt.
Obviously win the case. And then, yeah, crazy.
It's so
you're crazy. I mean,
at the time we're small, like we couldn't afford to advertise anything nationally. I mean,
yeah, I would have been surprised if you told me I bought a ball cap that would have said that on it.
I mean, just surreal. It's just surreal to think about. And just those connections.
So this goes to God's plan. We weren't supposed to get on those lifeboats, because if we had, maybe none of this happens.
Maybe none of it happens. And yeah, just an amazing turn of events, but also the difference in the change in what can happen. I mean, 13 years is a long time, but at the same time, where we were in that moment to where we were 13 years later, and we were about, again, foreshadowing, we were about to go down a pretty dark ramp in the next few weeks.
Yeah.
And still 13 years later, we have that opportunity to, you know,
yeah, I mean,
meet Pastor Greg, look, know him.
I mean, honestly, if somebody tells me that, it's like, what are you smoking? Right. You're crazy. That's not even in the realm of consideration, believability. I mean, that there's no connection there whatsoever. So it's pretty awesome to see what God can do and has done. And I don't know. It's good stuff. But we it was neat being at that church. It was great hearing Pastor Chuck, and that finished up. And we didn't hang around. We kind of bugged out of there, came back, and threw the football around.
Probably got an In-N-Out burger or something sometime that weekend.
We might have even. This was the NCAA tournament time.
It was. Yep.
And we probably watched some games, maybe. I don't know.
I bet we did. So the weekend ends. We don't budge on our settlement. They don't accept.
That's the answer. I blew that one.
We are heading back to trial in the morning. And we'll pick up there next week.
Strap them up. Ready to go.
This is the Fred Carmi reminding you that faith looks up, hope looks ahead, and love looks all around to see whom it can help. Good day.